This morning is our fourth in our series of 50 Baptists You Should Know. So this week we're going to continue to look at the beginning of the Anabaptist movement in Switzerland and the three men who are responsible for those beginnings. Just in review, the Protestant Reformation in Switzerland was led by former Catholic Ulrich Zwingli, and his goal was, as a former priest and being saved out of that, was to reform the Catholic Church. Now, three men in particular were drawn to his teachings, and they became followers of him and came to Zurich to study with him. Felix Manns, the one we mentioned all three of them last week, but Felix Manns came to Zurich in 1519. He was the first one. Actually, I think he lived in Zurich, and he began to study with Zwingli. Now, Manns, as I said, was born. He was the son of a Catholic priest. He was given the education of the privileged classes because of that. And he was well-trained in Latin and Greek and Hebrew, really a great young scholar. And he joined with others that were studying with Zwingli to study the New Testament. And at that time, he was converted while studying with Zwingli in the New Testament. These men believed in what they called a free church. He said free church, as he read his Bible, should be composed of members who had experienced, regenerate members who had experienced believer's baptism. And Manns expressed it in this way in one of his writings. He said, "Our ambition was to bring together those who were willing to accept Christ, obey the word, and follow in his footsteps, to unite with these by baptism, and leave the rest in their present condition." They were given the name Anabaptist, which is a name that they resented because it meant rebaptism. And as we talked about, one cannot be baptized a second time if he's never been scripturally baptized the first time. And so that to them was a term of a derision, and it was meant to be that when these people gave them that name. Zwingli, by his own testimony in 1523, now this is interesting to me as you look at how this came along, but Zwingli himself said in 1523 that it would be better to baptize children when they came to years of understanding, because there is no clear utterance in the New Testament that commands the baptism of children. But in just 2 years later, he would say that view was an error under great pressure from the city council. So Felix Manns was joined by two other young men who were newly saved. They were Conrad Grebel, who we studied last week, and George Blaurack. And God was bringing these men together in Zurich, really an amazing time as God brought these men to Zurich. So this morning we're going to look at Manns and Blaurack. So these men called themselves the Brethren. We call them now Anabaptists, but at the time that was a term of derision. And they called themselves the Brethren. They insisted on following only that which had biblical support. For this reason, they quickly became disillusioned or dissatisfied with Zwingli. And they made many attempts to get Zwingli to turn back to the Bible, not to follow the compromising and the pressure that he was under from the city council. Others joined with Manns. They met regularly in his home for study. Manns used his language skills to translate large portions of scripture into the tongue of the language of the people. And he worked rigorously as an evangelist, really used of the Lord throughout that area and outside of Zurich. His efforts were not without great danger. He was arrested on several occasions between 1525 and 1527. George Blaurack was born in 1491, and as I mentioned last time, he was educated at the University of Leipzig, and he served as a Roman Catholic priest until he was saved by reading his Bible. He left the priesthood after he was saved. He was married. He went to Zurich in 1524, again, to study with Zwingli. He soon became attached to these men, Manns and Grebel, as they were called the Radicals by some people, the Anabaptists and the Radicals, and he was soon attached to them. They were beginning in 1524 to really separate themselves from Zwingli as they studied God's Word. Blaurack was known for his boldness and his zeal. His debates with Zwingli showed that he had a great, keen mind also. He was an imposing figure. He was described as a tall, powerful man with fiery eyes, black hair, and a bald spot. A man's man. Later, he was referred to as the Hercules of the Anabaptists, and actually some people refer to him as the second Apostle Paul for his oratorical abilities. But as we noted last week, the Anabaptist beliefs, and those of the city council were really on a collision course because they were both wanting a different thing. And a great public disputation was held with Zwingli on January 17th. And we looked at that last week, and that was a watershed moment. But the council declared Zwingli the victor. And then the council then demanded all citizens must have their infants baptized in 8 days or they'd be banished from the country. This didn't stop these men from obeying God's word. They spread out. They started knocking on doors just as they thought the New Testament asked them to do, going door to door, witnessing to people. Soon there were many people being saved and following a believer's baptism. And this final rebuff by the city council this was the final rebuff by the city council, and these men met, and as I said last week, they established the first New Testament church ever in Switzerland, and I want to thank the Lord for that and their perseverance there. They made the break complete with Zwingli and the council, and the movement began to spread rapidly through the countryside. On February 7th, 1525, Blaurock and Manns were arrested with 24 other parents who refused to baptize their infants. This was the beginning of the great suffering and persecution that these men would go through. These three men were tortured and beaten. They were imprisoned, as I said, in terrible conditions. They would escape twice, all three of them. But on March 7th, the Zurich Council passed an edict. They had had enough, and they said that adult rebaptism was punishable by drowning. And on January 5th, 1527, just a short year later, Felix Manns was made an example to those who would deny the council's position. He would become the first Anabaptist to be martyred by the Protestants in that land. And this really is a shameful testimony, I think, to the lengths that those who are opposed to the Anabaptists were willing to go. They were, after all, the Protestants, not the Catholics. History tells us that at 3 p.m. he was led from Wellenberg prison to a boat as he praised God and preached to the people that had lined the shore. A reformed minister went with him, seeking to silence him and also, I guess, hoping that he would recant on his way to the execution. Manns's brother and mother, who were residents of Zurich, they went along the shore, encouraging him to stand firm and to suffer for Jesus' sake. He was offered mercy by the church if he would recant his position, but Manns never flinched. He was taken by boat onto the River Lamotte, taken to a fishing stand in the middle of the river. I believe we can see that there. His hands were bound and a pole was put between his knees and placed between his hands, and then he was executed by drowning in Lake Zurich. His last words were, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." On that same day that Manns died, Blaurock was severely beaten and banished from Zurich for good. He kept moving. He kept preaching through the country. He was eventually banished from Switzerland altogether, never to return. He then turned to Austria, the neighboring country, and in 1529 he became pastor of a small church that had just recently had their pastor burned to the stake. He baptized many believers. It was a small work, but the countryside was full of a lot of people. And he baptized many believers and established several churches in that area of Austria. But he was finally arrested by Austrian officials. And he and another pastor on September 6th were burned at the stake in Klofsen, Austria. The actual record of his execution says that he was executed, and as fitting for a knight and hero of the faith, he sacrificed his body and life for it. And before he died, he spoke earnestly to the people and pointed them to the scripture. One historian says that Manns and Blaurock did not disappear without a trace. Their glorious goals, freedom of religion, liberty of conscience, the equality of all citizens before the law, came to be the most precious legacy of our founding fathers. And I think their testimony wasn't wasted. These men came together. God brought these men together. Think of it, in 1523 and 1524, and five short years later, by 1529, most of them would be martyred. Yet history remembers these men as champions of the truth. One historian said, "Truth cannot be burned or drowned." And I hope this morning that the story of these men will help us to resolve to continue for the Lord, no matter what the circumstances.